questions you always had, the answers you were never given, the place to seek the truth. Welcome to Veritas.
Prepare for a mind-expanding journey with Michelle Gibson as she reveals the hidden layers of our past. In this compelling interview, Michelle challenges conventional history, uncovering truths obscured by time and manipulation. Michelle Gibson, an authority on ancient mysteries and forgotten technologies, shares her latest research on financial systems designed to keep us unaware and significant events from the mid-1980s that have been distorted. Her insights will leave you questioning the very fabric of our history. We'll explore how mines and minerals align with the Earth's energy grid and decipher the hidden messages in the statues of the National Statuary Hall. Michelle's discoveries about advanced construction techniques and the technological marvels of incline railways will amaze you as we question the official records of our past. Delve into the enigma of hell and its real-world locations. Michelle's investigation into serpent ley lines and their connections to ancient sites offers a new perspective on energy flow and its impact. We'll also explore the intriguing origins of the American Red Cross and YMCA, the historic trolley amusement parks of Coney Island, and the mysterious alignments from Amsterdam Island. Michelle Gibson's work uncovers hidden connections and untold stories that reshape our understanding of history. This interview will challenge your views on child labor in the 1800s, the advanced construction methods of the time, and the lost technologies hinting at a sophisticated past. Michelle will also discuss her in-depth series on the Trail of Giants in Appalachia and beyond. This series covers themes such as robber barons and resetters, giants, the energy grid, and the upcoming part on the Cataclysm. Each episode is packed with information about what has truly taken place here, offering a comprehensive look at the forces that have shaped our world. Join us as we question rewritten history, uncover the societal impacts of hidden truths, and anticipate future discoveries. Michelle Gibson's profound insights will illuminate the true heritage of humanity, empowering us to challenge mainstream narratives and seek the truth. Don't miss this captivating exploration into the depths of history, where each question reveals another layer of our hidden past. Michelle Gibson is coming up next. Welcome to the Veritas Project. I'm your host, Mel Hostelrich. If this is your first time listening, welcome home. To access tonight's full interview and all of our exclusive material, simply join the Veritas Plus family by clicking on the subscribe button at veritasproject.com. And while you're there, don't forget to check out the Veritas store for a range of great products, including focused life force energy. Experience the power of FLFE with a 15-day free trial today. No credit card required. If you're looking to get in touch with me, have a guest suggestion, or would like to provide feedback, simply click on the contact button on our website. Your thoughts and ideas are always appreciated. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's program. Our website is piercingtheveilofillusion.com, and directly from Prescott, Arizona, not too far from me, is my friend Michelle Gibson. Hello, Michelle, and welcome back. How are you?
Hi, Mel. I'm doing great, and thank you again for the invitation. I really appreciate it, and talking to you and your audience.
It's always a pleasure.
I've got a lot to share.
It's always a pleasure.
It's always a pleasure to be here.
And I think you might still be jet lagged, because you had an odyssey, a trip that you took recently. You want to tell us about that?
I sure can. I just got back from a trip to the Balkans. It was almost 3 weeks long, and it was through Old World Tours and actually Campbell with Autodidactic YouTube channel and Kelly with Tartaria Australia channel were part of a group that toured Serbia, Croatia, or Dubrovnik anyway, in Croatia, the Bosnian pyramids. We spent the most time there in that location towards the end. And it just really eye-opening in a lot of ways, because it really gets to the heart of all the lies we've been told about our history and how certain areas have really been hit hard by conflict, especially there and what happened after the breakup of the Soviet Union. You'd think freedom, yay, right? Well, that's after that was when things just kind of devolved into regional conflicts there. You know, they still have repercussions to this day with people distrusting each other. And that's not readily apparent because this region is also very healing. And the pyramids there, not only in Bosnia, but we visited one in Serbia called Artan, which is spelled R-T-A-N-J, which is a pyramidal-shaped mountain. And there's several others in that area that can be found lined up according to sacred geometry, which, according to my understanding and what I found through my own research, is that everything on the earth was laid out according to sacred geometry. And a lot of people, scientists involved in the research of these pyramids, have documented how these pyramids line up to each other on the grid system. So the one in Serbia, the one in Bosnia, and then how that corresponds to the sacred geometry of places like Washington, D.C. And we saw a presentation from the scientist that's doing the main research at the pyramid in Serbia. And this was a highly advanced, sophisticated civilization that the world's controllers just don't want us to know about, and have taken every opportunity to destroy it through these conflicts that I'm talking about in this region particularly, but also the people. And it was, you know, there's this knowledge that's underneath the surface that you go, and it's not easy to find out about because it's been kept from us. But like I said, this whole region is filled with healing capacities, whether it's the pyramids or the herbs. There's essential oils that are made there in Bosnia, for example, that have incredible ingredients that help with healing. And there's just been so much discord that's been overlaid on top of places that you don't get the feeling of the love and the common humanity unless you go there. Because if you look at the story on the surface, and the example I will give is on my shuttle ride home from the airport, I was dropped off at my home address because I couldn't park my car there for 3 weeks. And I said, I said I went to Europe, and he said, oh, did you go to Italy? I said, no, I went to the Balkans. And he said, well, were you aware of the civil war conflict that had gone over there in the 90s after the
Kosovo and all that, Sarajevo? Yes, the Bosnia Herzegovina.
Yeah, you know, it's like yes, I am. And I didn't really get into it. It was a short drive home, but you know, that's what people think of. It's what I remember. I vividly remember that happening in the 90s. And then I did a series called Seeing World's History Through New Eyes since 1945, when I was going through the official narrative of our history since the end of World War II, looking at things differently, and all the things that fell out about how things were manipulated during that time. And when I got to the 90s and started talking about what happened in the Balkans region, and just going by what the historical record tells us, I got a lot of feedback from viewers who were from that area that said, no, Michelle, it wasn't like that. You know, in terms of the conflict and distrust between the different peoples of the region. And so that gave me pause, because it's like, okay, well, that's what they're told. I don't have any other way of knowing other than what it says. And I, you know, do my best to report that as accurately as I possibly can. But again, the people from there were, you know, no, Michelle, that's not how it was. And then visiting there, there's a couple of other things that kind of speak to that area's power at one point in time on the Earth's grid system with star forts in Novi Sad and Belgrade in Serbia, and I'm sure other places as well. And my findings of railroads connected with star forts and the river systems that are S-shaped river systems that I've done quite a bit of research on, that's all there in this place. And again, I'm speaking to a cover-up of history where we consistently get the story they were built in X number of years for military purposes. Maybe it was used in battle, maybe it wasn't. Millions of bricks involved in these beautiful structures. And we got a tour, for example, of the fortification at Novi Sad, or the star fort at Novi Sad under in the tunnels. And the tour guide, bless his heart, was giving us a story that he's always been told. It was built in 80 for during a period of 88 years. And this is the reason for this. And, you know, we looked through these really long, skinny windows that were spaced periodically. So think like a lighthouse window that's long and skinny, you know, and maybe I'm thinking measurement wise, let's say 6 feet long, with the story that they would put their muskets, and you couldn't even see the outside. They would put their muskets into these slots and shoot. It's like, but you can't even see the other side. You can't see what you're shooting at. And I'm just giving you that as an example of what they're telling us. And so anyway, there's just a lot of, and then it was only used for battle one time. And consistently, these forts are called fortifications. They were built for military purposes, you know, sometime in insanely short periods of time, not necessarily the example I just gave, but others as well. And then in becoming military fortifications, they also became military targets. And whenever wars did happen, they were attacked, sometimes on the same day that the war started. So the one off the top of my head is Fort St. Elmo at Valletta in Malta, was attacked on the first day that Malta entered World War II. And then I've seen other examples like that. And
did you say it was attacked at the beginning of World War II?
The Fort St. Elmo in Valletta, Malta, was attacked on the day that that Malta entered World War II.
So the question everybody has with World War II and World War I, were those wars really to erase the past hidden history?
I 100% believe that. It was to likely erase past history, but also just destroy the infrastructure. They've kept some original infrastructure that they need or want, but they've destroyed more than they've kept. And that would be an example. Another thing that was destroyed in Valletta during World War II was the opera house. They turned it into an open-air opera house with what was left of it. So you could go to performances there today, but it's only a remnant of what it was. And then they give a date of sometime in the 1800s, sometime in the 1880s, let's say, for when it was built. And, you know, that's typical that an architect was given or accredited with these incredible structures sometime during the 19th century, which was the big reset century, and given a new explanation, but we were still said to have had low technology, so it doesn't really match what was there. And you know, there might be illustrations in books, sometimes photographs, depending on what it was or when it was said to have been built, but it still doesn't add up, because the architecture was incredibly sophisticated. And if it wasn't destroyed in wartime, in many cases, it was demolished with no good reason given. Reasons given were like it was in poor shape, it was determined to be a safety hazard. And you look at these massive masonry buildings, and a really good example is the train station in New York City. And I'm trying to think of the name of it. It's escaping me right now.
No, I know exactly what you're talking about. In fact, I was in New York City last year, and I remember seeing the pictures of before and after. It's embarrassing. They destroyed, demolished that. And speaking of New York, Michelle, every time I go to a certain place, to most places now, I have new eyes. Like when I went to New York last year, I'm walking around, and I've been to New York dozens of times. But the first time, I look around and I see, these two buildings don't belong here. And you look at the rooftops, and they have these domes, all of them, they're bluish. And that's what happens to copper when it ages. So, you know, one of them, it's a beautiful, beautiful, looks like a probably came out of Paris in New York City. Right in front, there's a parking lot. And I posted a picture on Facebook saying, look at the contrast of the new world and the old world. Do you get to recognize what the old world is? It happens all the time.
Absolutely. And the one that I was thinking of is Pennsylvania Station in New York
City.
Exactly,
yep.
And supposedly it was built in the early 1900s and was demolished by the 1960s. So ostensibly standing for only 60 years.
What is the reason, Michelle, that governments that love to spend money, and I know it, you know, whenever you see a town that's always, the roads are under construction, it's just a pure fraud that they just do it to keep money coming all the way. But what is the purpose of building something in the early 1900s to destroy it and demolish it years later? What is the purpose if you are government?
And that's the problem with the narrative. They're creating cover stories to explain the existence of this incredible architecture that they're trying to hide from us, and which they managed to hide from us by taking control of the narrative. And so, for example, I look at the 1851 Crystal Palace exhibition in London as the kickoff to the New World Order timeline, which would have been during the reign of Queen Victoria. And it seems like Queen Victoria's reign was like a happening time for this new timeline that we've been given. A lot going on during that time. And, you know, if we talk about star forts, so, for example, Lord Palmerston was her prime minister. And in the United Kingdom, especially in the English Channel and Wales and the Isle of Wight, you have what are called Palmerston forts, which are star forts. And the reason given for the building of these forts was that a commission decided that they were needed because of the threat of invasion from Emperor Napoleon III of France. And so, therefore, sometime, let's say between 1855 and 1870, they were building these forts. And you have the same kind of explanation given for star forts up and down the east coast of the United States, with the War of 1812 being a reason for a lot of the coastal defenses, they were, as they were called, and then world war, you know, then Civil War era kinds of constructions, again, as we're told, up and down the coast. And then there were some revolutionary era forts that were said to have been built. And again, the story really doesn't add up. And examples are Fort Washington and Fort Lee. And there's a bridge that crosses over between Fort Washington in Manhattan and Fort Lee in New Jersey. And so it was, they were both said to have been built really quickly with the onset of the Revolutionary War. And then they lost the battle anyway. And the American troops ended up spending a lot of the war in a ship's hold in New York Harbor. You know, but again, really short timelines given for the building of those particular forts. But there were star forts up and down the Hudson River and the upper and lower New York bays. And they're in typically in pairs and clusters. And not only do you find the star forts, you find the lighthouses, which I also believe were part of the system, the free energy system. Trolley parks, which, you know, another component, amusement parks, and
thank you for listening. To unlock the full 2-hour interview, including video formats, downloads, transcripts, exclusive articles, and more, subscribe to Veritas Plus now. Gain access to our entire archive dating back to 2008. Just click subscribe at veritasproject.com. To listen to the rest and access all of our exclusive material, head over to the Veritas Plus member section or click the subscribe button at veritasproject.com. Don't forget to visit the Veritas store for a range of great products, including focused life force energy. Experience the benefits with a 15-day free trial of FLFE today. No credit card required. If you'd like to get in touch with me, be a guest on the program, have a guest suggestion, or want to provide feedback, just click the contact button on our website at veritasproject.com. Thank you for listening to The Veritas Project, because you don't want to believe, you want to know. What are you waiting for? Subscribe now at veritasproject.com.